Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, March 31st. Good morning, Tori.
T-G-I-F.
Which means it's the last day of the week, last day of the month, blah, 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 blah.
Woohoo!
So tomorrow's a new month. Do you have any plans for April Fool's Day?
I can't tell you about it because...
Because then it's not a surprise
anymore.
That's
what I'm saying.
Well, good thing I'm not going to be around you because I wouldn't be caught in your
in your lies. April Fool's the worst, man.
Right?
Because some things you want to be fake aren't. You're like, damn it. This sucks.
Like all the news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like all the news. I'm like, it's just going to be one big punked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... Interesting.
Well, yeah. So we're going to have an awesome show for you today. We do have a guest in the studio, and we're going to get to her in a moment. We were off yesterday. I went to a bar mitzvah, the early part of the bar mitzvah, which actually takes 2 days.
Oy vey is what
I did. But you know what? The thing is I love early morning. It's just that I'm always too tired to get up. So when I have to...
It feels good.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, I enjoy
I sure
it.
Do. Even when I get up, I still hate it.
Yeah,
I am not. I can't do it.
You're not a morning person.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Always been a morning person, but I don't get to enjoy it because I work late at night. And then, you know, so I basically got about 3.5 hours worth of sleep. So
Lord.
You can imagine you go to temple, you want to fall asleep. But the thing is that thankfully, I mean, there's family and friends and everything. So it's not boring.
Right.
Although you're not really supposed to talk.
To talk,
you
yeah,
know? There's a sign on the wall that says during prayer, please talk to the Lord, not to the to other people. So there you go.
But like the Lord doesn't gossip back.
No, exactly. But that's what you're there for.
No, I know.
Right?
Yes.
It's a prayer. It's
exactly.
It's a one-way thing.
That's right.
So, but I really realized how restless I am, like a little kid. I can't sit for 5 minutes in one place.
No.
You know?
It's bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah, I went to go get my phone fixed, and I was literally in the Apple store waiting with the guy. It wasn't even like I didn't have my genius with me.
Right.
And I didn't have my phone, and I started to get like itchy and cold and like nauseous. And he was like, yeah, this happens to a lot of people. And he's like, all day long, all we see are people upset because they don't have the thing they need. And
right.
It's like an addiction. He's
oh,
like,
wow.
It's really not, it's not a lot of software stuff. It's just calming people down.
Right. And it, so, yeah. So it's not even a cool job.
No,
or
he was
anything.
Like, it's kind of, we see broken phones and broken hearts, which is the name of my new
I
album.
Like it. Yes.
No, I just came up with that. That's good. But it is, it's a lot of broken hearts in there, a lot of anxiety, man, in that Apple store.
Yeah,
your things don't work.
Yeah, so you dropped your phone in the you dropped your phone, and so you needed a new one.
I needed a new one, and it was the day my show came out, so I was gonna get all this praise. And I dropped it right before.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any of the praise.
Praise, huh?
But remember, you know, if you've been listening, I'm studying Buddhism, and I think that was meant to be like, you don't hold on to the praise or the negativity or the phone, apparently, because
okay.
It gets dropped.
But you still get the praise, right? It doesn't go anywhere.
No, my text never came through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my voicemail, they all disappeared.
Oh.
It was a mess.
That sucks.
It was really bad.
Okay, so all the congratulations, please send them again.
I said, and then I was like a dick enough to put it on Facebook, being like, oh no, could you guys resend? And no one resent. They're like, no, you get one praise.
Well, yeah, one text,
I don't get
it.
Another one.
Especially when he didn't answer.
Yeah,
you know?
What if like I got a job from like Brad Pitt? He's like, I guess she's not interested. Jesus.
Yeah, go back to your Buddhism and explain that one.
Exactly, Buddha.
Yeah, with Brad Pitt.
God.
So, but it was fun. I love being with family and everything.
Good.
You know, so it was cool. We ate.
In Jewish tradition, you just eat.
You
it's
eat.
The best.
You eat.
It's the best.
Right. But you know what? The funny thing is when you go to temple and you don't go there all the time, you don't know what's going on.
Right. It's new.
So, yeah. People stand up. Suddenly they sit down. They put this. They turn to the right.
They're
whatever.
Doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah,
you
right.
Turn yourself around.
Yeah. And bowing and stuff. And I'm going, I don't know what to do. So I'm just kind of like doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, you just daven when people daven.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never knew what I was doing in temple. temple. Literally, we were all in Hebrew, and my dad would stand up. I would stand up. He would sit down. I would braid his little tallis and sit there being like, when can I have a burger?
Right. You know, and then everybody picks up the prayer book and pretends like they know what's going on.
And I would read the English and be like, I'm not getting a lot. Yeah. But it's only because I was young. When I grew up, we had a course on like with the rabbi, which is so cool, on Judaism and like how social interaction happens and how Jews see the modern world. I was like, now that was fascinating. How they dealt with euthanasia, how they dealt with gays, how they dealt with... I was like, now that's something interesting. If I'm just reading Hebrew, man.
Right. And just the rituals, you know. I mean, those are rituals that today don't make much sense to me. But the sense... What I do like about that part of religion is the togetherness of people.
Oh, it's the best.
The sense of community, you know.
It's the
and
best.
And many people go there and they tell me, you know, they say I go there more just to be with
social,
the people.
It's like a Starbucks.
A social thing.
It's honestly a very social thing. It's nice to be around your own people. I remember my parents put me in Hebrew school three days a week, 3 hours a day.
Wow.
And the most of the time I spent just chatting.
Yeah,
and they were like, well, we wanted you to marry someone Jewish.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey,
didn't work, man.
Didn't work. No, I married an Irish Catholic.
Try next time.
But it did give me a sense of like friendship that's different in a tribal way.
Right.
Because we all just sat there wondering what we were doing.
I know. And I think it's important to know who you are rather than just be Jewish by birth.
Yeah.
You know, I
mean,
at least understand where you're coming from. And,
that's right.
And not just being Jewish, Christian too. You know?
I mean, I liked when we went into philosophical discussions about Judaism. That way I could look at it kind of like a scholar, but my school was also like that, my high school. Well, remember, we read the Bible like literature. We were looking at it from the outside, and that was really interesting. But when we were just doing Hebrew after Hebrew, I'm never going to remember this or speak it. I was never going to...
Do you think it instilled anything in you, though?
I get to talk about it now?
Yeah,
no.
Right.
To be honest with you, there are a lot of wonderful things. I loved my bat mitzvah and stuff, but I wouldn't... I don't think I would send my kids to the... 3 days a week, 3 hours a week. Maybe a Sunday school would be lovely, but I felt a lot of it was wasted time.
Yeah,
and that's maybe because there was just too much. 3 hours, 3 days a week.
That's a lot after school and everything.
Yeah, so we were kind of exhausted and hungry.
You see, and that's the mistake they make also. They put so much on the kids that they hate it.
Because then you rebel. Exactly. But when we had those great discussions when I was getting confirmed in my temple, it was wonderful and really interesting. And they kind of allowed us to speak our minds. And that was really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really, really neat. Wow. Yeah.
So just before we get to our guest, I wanted to share my experience, my first experience with my virtual reality for the PS4 that I got.
Excellent.
And the thing is that, I mean, it's got like so many pieces that you have to put together. Okay?
So it's not like the cardboard thing.
No. I mean, this is like major stuff. This is not with your phone.
Are you wearing a suit? Like, do you get
No, not suit. Okay. But you have a pretty big... Let's say a headset.
Wow.
Okay. And it sits on your head, so it's not tiring because it is kind of heavy.
Right.
But it sits on your head. It's very comfortable. And it shuts out all the light and everything. You feel you're somewhere else.
Dude.
So let me explain this. The first thing that I had was they're lowering me in a shark cage into the water, right?
OMG.
Now, this is like all 3D animation, but it's very realistic.
So it's not real shark or it is real
shark? Okay. So let me tell you what happens.
Okay.
So I'm just taking... So you're brought down with this cage. You're first person, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you look around, it's kind of darkish because you deep in...
Murky.
Very deep. But when you turn, there's a light beam moving around with you as though you have a light on your head, right?
Very cool.
Okay. So now then you start to see all kinds of fish just swimming like right in front of you.
Whoa.
At your face, right? So and beautiful jellyfish and stuff moving around and stuff.
Wow.
All this time people are talking to you from the boat above in your headset and stuff. So she's like, okay, we're lowering you down now. And, you know, and then you get lower and lower and lower, and suddenly, wow, hold on, there's something going on. Hang on. And then you see the shark.
Whoa,
and he starts to move
it
towards you. And this is a great white, okay? Now he comes, he rubs against the cage, and the cage starts rattling.
Wow.
And you think you're there, Tori, I'm telling you. Except for actually moving.
Right?
You look around, you go, where's he coming from?
Wow.
You start to turn around, he's like hunting me. And then he comes, he grabs the cage and starts shaking it with its head. And you're like, oh my God, he's in my face. Then he does another round and he comes right at you when you have no cage left.
What do you mean? What happened to the cage?
I mean, well, the front is gone. Oh, you mean he ripped it off? So he ripped it apart.
Oh my God.
And so then you're like, no. So the cage is essentially gone, and now he's coming right at you with a big mouth.
My. And then it ends?
I don't remember how it ended.
I feel like you don't. Wait a minute.
He just disappears, I guess. Yeah, whatever. They pull you up. They start pulling you up again. Yeah,
I got to tell you, I feel like you watched a nightmare.
Yeah, I did, right?
Terrifying.
Well, I was glad to tell you there was no whales in it, so
yeah,
at least that.
Yeah, thank God.
Right?
I wouldn't have gone. I can't go.
But I'm telling you, like, my memory of this now is as though I was there, you know?
Did you hear? Let me ask you a question. Underwater is a certain sound.
Right,
sort of
they duplicated that.
Okay, that sort of deafening.
Yeah, and the sound comes from different directions, too, because you put headphones on.
And then, I love that they're talking to you from the boat.
Yeah.
How good for an actor to be there?
Yeah, like genuine, you know?
Totally.
Totally genuine. Like you're there and there were like water drones running around you, like that people built. They like search for things.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, the drone is reporting something's gone on.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
How long did this last?
This lasted about 10 minutes maybe.
This
so
is a great
it's not a big deal, but you're part of a movie, you know, and that's the amazing thing about
it. It's crazy cool.
Yeah. So now I started another one where I'm part of a London heist. So I'm sitting there at a table in a bar. There's a cigar on the table with a lighter. Now, you have two controllers in your hands that you can use.
Oh, okay.
And they're used as hands now. So you see like hands in front of you
got
on
it.
The screen, right?
Got it. Okay.
And as you reach for something, the hands move, they pick it up. So I put the cigar in my mouth. I light it up. The cigar. I was sitting there like a fan. I'm telling you, the whole time I'm talking to this guy. So it's really funny and it's going to get really good.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear these stories.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I am planning to explore the sex side of it too, okay?
Just to see
because
this
it's
side.
Very important. Listen, this is a development.
It is. And to be honest, in pop culture, this is going to be a thing.
It is.
For someone that
is.
Studies the basis of pop culture, this is the new. I mean, what's interesting is when they give you a nose plug and you smell that cigar.
Oh, wow.
That's what's going to be interesting.
Now, there you go.
Or if you get the effects of a cigarette or like weed or something, like that's going to be crazy.
And they'll probably do that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
You'll take a pill to start it and it'll have the effect at the right time.
I'm already thinking of like the sorry to go back to the sex part, but I'm fascinated with that since you're bringing it up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you could be watching yourself being with women, whatever, and a real woman is doing you, you know? And you're like totally somewhere else.
It's like an interactive
thing. I'm predicting people probably go like to hookers or something, right?
Put the thing on.
God, they'll think
like
they're
Blade
with Angelina
Runner.
Jolie or something.
We're going to turn into robots.
Right?
That's what this is becoming.
Right.
In the end, what do we always say? We're turning into robots.
Right. But I'm only reporting this here, man. But, you know, so
crazy.
I don't take any responsibility
for
this.
Now, did you film yourself in the helmet?
No.
So you could see how weird you looked?
Oh, people do that.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
You need someone else to take
you
the video
of you.
You
should put a camera up. Just
right.
Film it, yeah.
Yeah. But you can't see the camera. You can't see anything.
No,
you
I know,
don't know
but
where
I
you are
see,
when
right,
you put the
right.
goggles on.
Wow.
You really don't, you know. It's not like with the cardboard where you pull it out and you know, and you're holding it and it's low resolution.
You know what that's be good for? Phobias. People with phobias.
Really?
If they're scared of sharks, this is going to get them over.
That's true, right?
Much, much worse.
But I mean, you get to fly over. I mean, I was like flying with a motorized parachute over the Alps.
Imagine you're paralyzed and you get this.
Right. I mean, you get to experience. And think about it. Many of us will never experience jumping off a plane or something
or
like
traveling.
That.
You or traveling. You can go to France. You can go to
anywhere.
Wow. You can see museums up close.
Yeah.
People can't afford museums.
Yeah. I know.
We're all turning to robots.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, that's the thing. It's got its good and its bad. You know?
Yeah. There's always a double-edged sword. Moderation.
Right. Yeah.
Don't go around walking with these things on, though, people. You're going to look like a real dick.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like they did with the Google Glass, right?
Oh,
everybody
look
looked
how
so dorky.
And look how that went.
Yeah.
You know who else? The Bluetooth. I know it's trying, but I don't think it looks good.
Yeah.
They got to come up with a better Bluetooth.
Oh, those things
in
your
ear.
Yeah.
Because you look 90s-ish or
2000. It seems most people don't wear them anymore.
Oh,
though,
you see
right?
a lot of people talking really? Themselves like that crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They got
a
Bluetooth in.
I know. Oh, well. Anyway, let's bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently. And we had to gather information on her this morning because my email was totally screwed up. But I remember the name, and we have the name, and we have the lady in the studio behind the name.
Yay.
And we're joined by Janice Rouse. Welcome to the show, Janice. Woo!
Good to be here.
Yes. You have a very unique name, so it was easy for me to remember.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Finesse. It's like but finesse shampoo.
Are there a lot of Janices in the world when you Google
it? I was named after my mother's friend, and she was named after a character in a book. Oh. Now, it is a surname.
Uh-huh.
And that means youthful.
Really? In what? In French or something?
Yeah, June. Yes. June. French. Yeah. Yes. Le jeune et le vieux. Vieux means old. June means that's young.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There you go.
That's very nice. Je parle
français. That was
very
something cool. I had no idea about. Yeah. That's great.
So now, now you know. You see, you
learned something new every day.
This is the queen of trivia over
yeah,
here.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'll just
so, now, so are you from French background or was it just a French book?
No, no. I was actually named after a friend who was named after the book. No, Big Jeunesse is what she was called, and I was Little Jeunesse. But Big Jeunesse was my mother's sorority sister in college.
How
so
cool
she's listening.
That?
Hi.
Yeah, so she now she's
got Big Jeunesse
for the rest of her life and stuff.
That's
very cool. Yeah. So very cool, and you were born beautiful. Obviously, you're still beautiful.
Thank you.
So. Where were you born?
Texas.
Really?
Yeah. I can bring the accent out if you want
really?
Me to.
I'm telling you, those Texas girls, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They're A beautiful.
Their accent is great.
Yeah.
So good.
No, I
mean,
try
to hide it. I lived in New York, and I...
It's that little twang at the New York...
Well, they used to think that was from North Carolina. Because
really?
Accent is not quite Texas.
Oh, that's a real
that's
Texas.
More Texas.
That okay, yeah. I'm not going to admit.
Then you got the southern accent.
Oh,
like from Georgia.
That's
North
true,
Carolina.
Right.
It's a little bit different.
Oh, my God. That's
good
great.
For you.
That's good.
That's good.
I'm just like, I'm from D.C. I've got nothing.
Right, I know. I could never do this accent here. But very interesting. So what, like, was it a small town, Texas?
Midland, Odessa in West Texas, and they're kind of the twin cities. And there's about 200,000 in that area, so it's kind of small, but they think they're big.
But it's not a little village or anything.
No, they're really focused on bringing in more cultural things. They've got a beautiful Wagner Noel Fine Arts Center out there. They've got some amazing sports complex centers out there. So they are that big little.
That's
town.
Nice.
Very cool.
That's the best type of towns in the U.S.
So what was your childhood like? Did you have any siblings?
I have an older brother.
Oh, okay.
We played all the time.
Oh, really?
Make believe.
That's what I did. Make believe. We didn't have the
Link
phone.
And I was Zelda.
Oh.
And that was like the big thing.
So
I was Princess Zelda. You don't understand.
That was your thing.
Really?
I was.
Really? Wow. And
Princess
who was
Zelda.
He?
He was Link.
He was Link.
Oh, Link. Who's Link in the Zelda
He's
the main
hero.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's the hero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Legend of
wow,
Zelda.
Wow. How cool is that?
My friends just named their kid Zelda.
Really? Because of the Legend of Zelda?
Yeah.
Well, she had long blonde hair.
She's
and
gorgeous.
I had long blonde hair. And that was why I was Zelda. It's like everyone had to know. Every time we played anything, I'm Zelda. You have to understand.
Treat me like some respect.
No. Right? And it was very important for Lane to have a magical power.
Oh.
So with Lane, he's like, okay, my magic power is flying.
Oh, interesting.
And you can see where that went.
Yeah. He fell down a lot. Yeah.
So
it didn't go well.
I was Zelda and I just stand there.
That's amazing.
You know, flick my hair. And, it's like, I'm Zelda.
Cool. And so, but what was childhood like? Did you have a normal childhood?
Yeah, very normal childhood. Very active. I was very athletic, so I played every kind of sport there ever was. You couldn't catch me dead behind a microphone.
Really?
Really?
Debilitating stage fright.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Debilitating.
So you wouldn't do anything with acting or singing or anything like that at that point?
I tried not to. My mom would force me.
Really?
Good
but,
mom.
Yeah, good
she
for mom.
She saw talent there?
Good
or
for
what?
Mom. Well, she knew that I would like it if I tried it.
Yeah?
So, and I did when I would get into character because it's that whole make-believe.
It's like Zelda.
Thing. Yes. When I was Zelda, I was like somebody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
me. But you could put me on any kind of field, any kind of court, and I would just knock you senseless.
Wow.
That was really good.
Yeah,
damn,
man.
Girl.
Yeah. So your mom knew that. Did she have any background?
Yeah, she's a singer.
Oh,
and
okay.
her mother was a singer.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So she wanted to keep the tradition.
And then my brother sings. And thing is, my brother and my mom are very outgoing, very kind of, they can take over any kind of room and just be that big leader. And I was very content letting
not,
them
yeah,
all.
You didn't
really?
Have to.
Yeah. No, I didn't have to.
That's
maybe
my,
you switched roles now, right?
I mean, you kind of have to learn.
Right?
My
sister
is like that. I can talk to a zebra with a long conversation. Like, I can talk to anybody. But she was like, I'm very content to let that happen. But it doesn't allow her to then do it.
Exactly.
So when it comes time for her to be in, she's very frightened.
Oh, I loved being in the background.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, like, they just go, yeah, you're doing great. Keep it up.
Yeah, not me. I mean, I never could be in the background.
Me neither. You know? No.
I always had to be like right there and stuff, you know. So I was always the leader somehow. But then at a certain point, I kind of lost it. I think like later in my teens, I think after coming here and stuff, you know, from another country, you're new, you feel scared, uncertain and stuff. Yeah. So you don't throw your weight around too much, you know?
Yeah, you want to observe. Right. You want to watch other people do it and kind of figure it out.
It's like animals when they watch.
Okay, now I know what to do.
Yeah. Right.
They just watch like from the watering hole.
It's like a temple yesterday, you know? Oh, they're standing up, I better stand, you know? Like, okay. Otherwise, that looks silly.
That's right. So that's very true.
You know what I'm doing. I promise.
And so I imagine from Texas, did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yes.
Were your parents religious in any way? Did you have to go to
church? Went to church every Sunday.
Really?
Sunday morning.
What was that like? I mean, did you subscribe to it or did you rebel? How did you feel?
I just went along with it. I was pretty laid back.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Chill. You put me on a court, I'm not laid back. But in just living in...
As a kid, you see other kids there and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's
a social thing. And I mean, I had a very strong sense of morality and conviction.
Right.
You know, I knew what was right and wrong, and that was established by my parents.
Right.
But, you know, that was what life was. You go to church on Sunday, and you go to church on Wednesday night, and you go to care group or whatever once a month on Saturday.
Once a month makes sense. Three days a week. What are we doing over here?
That's very much the... Texas small town
thing,
because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you
do. Sunday school and all of that.
That's nice.
But what's neat about it is, because you're talking about, you know, any kind of religious community, how it's good because it's a community. It's a family.
Yeah.
You were created to be part of families. Mm-hmm. I mean, humans are not meant to be
alone. Right.
And so having that, even when, I mean, like different psychologists and counselors say, are you part of a church group? Mm-hmm. When you move to any kind of new community, are you part of any kind of religious community? Because that is family.
Right.
And even if you don't agree with their values, even if it's just people who know you, who can do life with you.
Right.
And so it's just good to be a part of that.
I like that. Who can do life with you.
And even if they don't agree, they just know you.
They get it.
They love you for who you are.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then they're religious and they need to get over themselves.
Yeah.
And they need to find a different family.
Yeah, find a different
Find a different community. But that's what, you know, church was, especially for us. It was just people that we did life with.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very mm-hmm. cool. So so you grew up there. High school was good to you?
No. Yeah, well, I was very active. And very good in the sense of I was very successful. I didn't have like a lot of friends per se, but my friends were the faculty.
Really?
So I was very mature.
Oh, yeah.
Were you always mature for your age?
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell that. Yeah, I can get that.
An old soul, right?
An old soul. Oh my gosh, I look so young. And then I start talking, and then people think I'm like 60.
Yeah, right?
It's like, where's the fountain of youth? It's Jeunesse. It's my last
name. Jeunesse is the name, right?
It's the name. It keeps me young.
That's right.
Yeah, so,
but some people are like more old soul. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
I'm kind of like that. I'm kind of weird.
Yeah,
that's what I was like. I'm just weird. Hi, I'm Jeunesse. I'm weird.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah, aren't we all? We're all weird in our own ways. You know, we think we're weird because we think the quirks that we have are only ours.
Yeah,
but everyone has them. I know. You know, think about it.
Did you start singing in the choir? Is that what started with singing?
Yes, devastatingly so.
There you go.
I mean, I would be standing because that was the elective of choice because you really didn't have to do anything. You just sat there and sang. But anytime we had a concert, I would literally be among 60 kids and I would be shaking.
Just so nervous.
Because everyone was looking at me, I thought. And even if I had to audition for, there was one time where I had to audition for a solo and I couldn't get through the song. So I had to turn and face the chalkboard.
God,
and my brother was sitting there and I saw him, his whole face just fell. He felt so bad for me.
Oh,
and I got
so
through
cute.
The solo. But yeah,
that's
I had a
good.
Breakthrough in my senior year when I went out. Don't ask me how it happened, but I was cast as the lead in their new fall musical that they were doing. And I went to the board and I was like, I did not audition for that. I had no idea they were doing one. Who the heck signed me up for this?
And they were like, someone
Someone signed me up. But when I went out there, the first solo I had was Sit in the Clowns.
Descending and the clouds. Yes.
And something just snapped. I went, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
Wow,
very
so
cool.
That was kind of the launch.
So that's the launch. So after high school, did you decide, did you have a dilemma? Am I going to college? Am I pursuing singing?
Oh, yeah.
Acting?
No, it was because of the Sin and the Clowns that I knew that I was going to be doing the kind of theater stuff. Yeah. So I ended up auditioning for a music theater major, and then life kind of happened. I had to come home for a little bit, and but continued to pursue music, going to a music program and then doing online schooling. And I was getting kind of a more philosophical degree in religion.
Yes.
Because I wanted to know religion. Because it's interesting because you're studying Buddhism. Everything.
Yeah.
That's what my master's is in.
Really?
It's in religion. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah. It's
you should have been here last week. We were talking about atheism for two days.
Oh, my gosh.
Here.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to those shows.
Okay,
you love
it. I'll do
that. Except I need to put all the descriptions. I haven't put descriptions on the shows in weeks.
Oh, no.
And people want to go back to shows. They don't know which one.
No.
So yeah, I need to do this, but God, so many things to
do.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to that, so you majored in religion. That's very cool. What school did you go to?
The Liberty University.
Oh yeah.
And I did it online.
Where's
so
that?
I could study
like
Virginia.
Online?
Yeah. And then I would go to the music program at our local college.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it was interesting was I was actually gonna just leave music altogether. And then my friend said, Janice, you've been given a gift and you're responsible to use it. Because I was going right back into that stage fright thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she signed me up for an audition voice lesson without my knowledge.
It's always people doing this without your knowledge.
I was
dang
it.
Good friends.
So
everybody
I knew my friend. She's like, you have to use it. Because they knew I had a gift. And I just, I had to get over my happy little self.
Yeah.
And I went and I sang for Mr. Corman, and he's an opera tenor. He traveled all over the world and sang with everybody. You can pick up an opera CD and he was like, oh yeah, that person's nice. She's kind of strange. I mean, he knows them personally because he sang with all of them. Yeah. And he was starting to do voice lessons in choir and things like that. And when he listened to me for a few minutes, he said, you've got a big voice in there.
Wow.
And so that's when I started training opera and vocally was training professionally that way while I got my degree, my real degree.
Yeah.
And then I went off to New York.
That's very cool. Now, with the degree in religion, what did you plan on doing? What did you picture yourself doing?
I didn't plan on doing anything with it.
You
I
just
needed
just
a degree.
Oh, okay. You see, like, for
the truth.
For example,
the truth
if
is I needed a degree.
Well, but that's very interesting. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of intellect to want to pursue something like this.
Yeah, well,
you know?
I wanted a PhD.
Did you really?
Wow. And I started my PhD three times, and I was just like, this is just a lot of work that I really don't want to do. Right.
Wow.
I want to belt songs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more creative,
yeah,
and I'm more expressive, and that's something that developed as I started pursuing the acting and singing. And just with the degree is like I needed something. And both of my grandfathers had PhDs.
Mm.
One was an engineer, one was in business. And one of them called me Dr. J because he knew that I could get my PhD. You're going to have a PhD by 30. And I was like, yeah, that's great. It's not happening. So I got to my master's and have a few hours in my PhD work, but it's a lot of the same.
Yeah, right? It is the same.
It's a lot of
the
same.
And I don't understand that. But
I'll get one of those, you know, complimentary ones.
Yeah.
Like
Rihanna.
University, I'll take one.
Rihanna got one from Harvard.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Or an honorary one, right?
Yeah, I want an honorary one.
When you're the president, you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obama got one. He got one from Notre Dame.
Oprah gets one from everywhere.
Yeah. He has four. I want four.
That's right.
So I'm going to start sending out letters. You need to give me one because I'm excited.
But this is cool, you know. I mean, and I'm also thinking when I go back and get my master's, it's probably going to be like philosophy, religion.
It should be.
Something like that, you know, politics.
Well, it keeps you balanced.
Yeah.
If you're very creative, that gives you that balance of something that keeps your mind
I mean, what am I going to do? Like at this point in my life, I'm not going to go and learn business. I've already learned it.
You've done
it. Yeah.
You did
it. I mean, what am I going to learn? English, you know, I mean, I've read everything there was to read.
No, but what gets you jazzed is shark videos philosophy and religion.
No, and religion and things like that.
And
you know,
and deal with
And that's part, I think, of the of Maslow's was it the pyramid of needs, you know, and self-actualization. Yeah. I mean, that's the point where you say, okay, now I want to make myself better. I've achieved everything else.
Yeah.
Now I want to better myself even.
Yeah.
And I like this stuff. I mean, to me, the greatest joy in life is sitting and talking to people. Mm-hmm. You know, about
look what you do
things.
For a living.
Yeah.
Sit and talk to people.
That's true, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't realize that, but
well,
true.
There you go.
Yeah,
and I like to point things out to people. So there you go. That's my joy in life.
Point there.
This is happening.
Tell me something. How many thousands of views do you already have on your video?
We have 5,000.
5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at her. Yay. 5,000 views.
That's not that many,
in
but
like
for
two,
me,
two, 3 days.
No,
why is that not
great.
A lot?
Tell it me. Is. You're right.
If you try to reach 5,000 people now. Can you do it?
No.
Okay,
no,
there
no,
you
no.
go. So it's yeah. a lot.
Thank you.
Go,
okay.
Go
thank you.
Yay,
go
internet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And radio and stuff.
And radio.
Yeah.
And radio.
Yeah.
but the radio's on the internet.
There you go.
So. Exactly. You know, but otherwise, yeah. I mean, so you should be happy with it.
Oh, my God.
And,
I'm out for the moon.
And look, it's in only 2-3 days.
Yeah, it's in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah,
give it,
huge.
Yeah. Give it some time. You're going to get tens of thousands.
Let's hope.
Yeah. No, you will. I've seen all the other videos there get a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do.
So that channel
of
is
course,
strong.
Of course, you know what happens? Just like
it's a strong channel.
Your stage fright, though, I'm like, just like this. The channel has 500,000 subscribers. It's called Kin, and it's a great family channel. But, of course, I'm like, I'm going to be the one that gets zero views. Like, you know.
Well, are you new?
Yeah.
Though? Yeah, well, that's.
But it didn't turn. I was like, I'm going to get 60 views and that's it. But you always have that. As an artist, I think you always have that fear.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself out there. Even though I have no stage fright, like, it's still scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still
and,
scary.
But she's so free in her video. I mean, she seems like she's.
I seem so in control, right?
Yeah.
I just got to get to that point where I don't really care.
That's what I said.
I have a message to say, and I'm enjoying saying it. So here you go.
I said, I'm too. It's TOTC, Totsy. It's too old to care. I could care less.
There you go.
That's right. I just do what I want to do. So what kind of songs do you like most to sing? I'm always interested in hearing
singers. Oh, probably ballads. There's something that, and it's not so much like to sing. It's just it really resonates with the audience.
Got it.
They really like the ballads. Like in our last R&P concert, even though I had a lot of fun singing the Shakira Try Everything and Buenos Aires and even rewriting a little bit and singing Los Angeles.
Whoa!
But like when I sang Somewhere of the Rainbow, just that really caught
that's
the
a
audience.
Great ballad, man.
And Sin in the Clowns, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's kind of that instinctive, but I go somewhere in that expression of the music, and I'm communicating. I'm not just singing a song. There are people that are singers and then there are communicators. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a communicator, and that's what they saw when I first sang Sin in the Clowns at 18.
It's so funny
she's
that
communicating
song.
It
she's telling us a story.
She's telling us a story.
That's funny because I when you a ballad is almost like a little bit of a Shakespearean soliloquy.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a lot of depth and meaning, and you're personal to the audience in a ballad. It's very open and vulnerable.
Yes.
So for someone so scared, it's so interesting the ballads.
Yeah.
Those are the harder ones.
I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah,
it's
good.
I've been through way too much. I'm like, I don't really care.
Good
you guys
for you.
Need to hear this because it'll be a blessing to you. And that's what you have to get to as an artist. And this is what I tell all of my actors, all of the musicians that I come. You are being a blessing to them. It's about giving a gift to them. Take it off of yourself. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about them. It's about your audience. And that was something that was told me at the very beginning when I was pushing through the fear and getting David Corman was very instrumental in helping me overcome my stage fright because he'd see me shaking there. It's like, okay, sing a solo. I'm like, thanks.
Wow.
So he would always give me that push because he knew I had the gift in me. I just had to get over the fright. And what clicked was when I got the focus off of myself.
And onto the audience.
And that's why I'm really passionate about like these concerts is I know it's going to be a blessing to those who come.
I see.
I know it's going to really be entertaining. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not about us, you know, we're entertainers. It's about them.
We do a prayer before comedy. It's not a prayer religious, but we're always like, thank God we do something that gives people a chance to smile at the end.
Yes.
We're turning their night better.
Yes.
So it's really good.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And we'll get to that.
You'll
get to talk a lot about it. But because you've got an event coming up, right?
Yeah, the R&B concerts.
Yeah, so we're going to tease that a little bit. We're talking to Jeanice Rouse. You guys can follow us with the show at aboutjeanice.com. Mm-hmm. Jeanice is JENNESS, and So it's about Janice.com, and you've done a lot of stuff. I mean, yes. You've obviously been very busy. Modeling, stage, writer, music. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're a creative type, obviously.
Communicator.
Right.
I like it.
Were you able to sit patiently through school, though, and stuff like that?
I did it online. I would always schedule my day from 8 to noon. That was schooling. Right. And I would do all of my schoolwork then, and I'd do a lot of, you know, the research and things like that. And
that's cool.
Did very well in school, 4.0. Yeah. And then, because I focused on it.
Right, exactly.
I think if people could focus, they'd all excel.
And did you do it later? So, not right after high school,
not
right?
Not right after high school. I started, then things got a little off, and I did try to move to Nashville for a little bit. That didn't work, so I came back. And then I started getting my undergrad.
Okay.
Which was in business. And then I went on to the master's in religion. But that's when I was studying the music.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the theme throughout all of this, though, has been the music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what stayed throughout.
That stayed everything. Throughout the entire
train.
Yeah.
Right. You see, I mean, for me, music is such a big part of life. You know, I'm like constantly, sometimes I'm with someone on the phone. It's like, okay, let me go back to my music now. You know,
when I'm in
the car. Yeah. Let me go back to my music. I know what that's like, but I appreciate it when people make it like actually an integral part of, or pursue it professionally, you know, because I never had that support from my parents. And God knows, I mean, I was a great guitar player, great singer. And
you never got to really experience it. Did you?
Well, I did, but not professionally.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's always like get a real job, you know, type of thing. But you obviously came from a musical family.
Yes.
So you got that support.
Yes. And I'm going to give a shout out to my dad. He is the dreams of his family, the dreams of his wife, the dreams of his kids were his dreams. So he was an incredibly successful attorney, and he works. I mean, he's involved in so many things. I don't even know all the things he's involved in. He doesn't talk about it.
Right.
Because his dreams are to see his kids accomplish their dreams.
Wow.
And so I had that foundation.
That's like my parents.
Yeah.
It's like that.
And
those are the best.
If I hadn't have had that, I would not be here where I am today.
When you are born into a family that supports you creatively, you just made it. And
you're
a creative person. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. I have been given an incredible gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in LA now?
Yeah, well, I was in New York, and I was doing pretty well. It was funny, because I was getting cast for commercials, and I was actually making money on commercials, and then never air them. But I was still making money.
Yeah, I still make money.
I was still making money. And I did end up in, like, a print campaign and things, which is great. But every time I go in for an audition for an actual, like, television program, all the casting directors, all the agents, all the managers, Janice, we love you. You do not look New York.
Mm-hmm. You do look LA.
Yeah. And every single one of them. And this was around the time that I had switched from pursuing opera and Broadway to pursuing film and television full time. And they were saying, we can't cast you because you just don't read LA or New York. And I finally went, I probably need to move to LA.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I moved here about 2 years ago.
So you were doing opera in New York?
Mm-hmm. A little bit. My language skills were not as good as they needed to be. You don't need to have an American accent, and my American accent was very thick in French.
It's hard to have a Texas accent singing Italian.
Yeah, my Italian was fine.
Because
it's similar to Spanish. It's that kind of diction, and I took a lot of Spanish. You're in Texas.
You're in Texas. That's right.
Yeah. So,
French is quite different.
French was atrocious. Yeah. It's atrocious.
Didn't
know. And so I lasted in the opera scene, even though I had the voice for it. They said, we need you to move to Europe and study languages. You could do this, absolutely. But you would need to live in Europe. And I had just moved to New York.
Yeah.
Or you can do Broadway right now.
Right.
And so that's when I started doing that. But what was interesting was the first thing that I got cast in was a Super Bowl commercial. And so it's like right when I was starting the whole stage and music thing.
You get the TV.
The TV thing opened up. Oh, so I started following that door because that was the door that opened.
Yeah,
I like how you just follow the door.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we're going this way. Just be flexible.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, like I said, I was making money, but not going anywhere. It was like, well, at least I've got a paycheck. That's good.
Yeah.
But moved to LA. And then what I did here was I worked in a production studio. and worked as kind of the office admin. I was networking, meeting a lot of people, kind of figuring out the LA industry.
Right. And you realized you have to go in early and start at the bottom.
Yeah. You start off at the bottom. And well, there are several ways you can do it now because the industry's changing. Is you either pitch yourself. And I actually did, and I got a pretty big audition, but it was between me and a big-name talent. And, of course, they're going to go with a big-name talent. So I got pretty far with that first pitch.
Wow.
But I don't like to promote myself. I like to promote other people or a team or something like that. So that was really awkward for me. So either you do that or you create your own work.
Right.
And I started to create my own work, and I found kind of my niche.
That's cool. Yeah. So what kind of work did you start with?
I started writing. First, it's just scene sketches. And I had written scenes and little plays and stage things before, but not in LA. So I started writing I wrote a scene, just like for my demo reel, just kind of messing around. That scene, the writing in it, the acting in it, I had an actor that I'd met who is a working actor. He works quite a bit as my co-star. And that scene kind of generated some momentum. Just someone said, you've got a gift for writing. Have you considered making this a full character? Got a startup fund. I went to my production studio boss and I said, can we put something together? Right. Looking at the little startup fund, I could either make a mediocre, good web series about 12 episodes, 3-minute episodes, or I could make a solid, excellent trailer pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I opted for the pitch. And so I could write all these little bitty scenes that we could put together and then get a real good editor who's worked on everything and colorist and do the whole thing. And then that pitch with a draft of what a pilot could be is what I started pitching to different networks. And I got a lot of buzz.
Really?
From that.
Very cool.
Like, this is a great idea. Let's look what we can do. But then, of course, LA is famous for hurry up and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't like to wait.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
I'm not doing that. And I waited and I was patient. Yeah.
This is not New York here. People take
their
time.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But I'm, there's something there. It was legit. This is a great project. But I wasn't going to wait anymore.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
I went back to Texas and I founded Rising Monarch, which is my production studio. And I invited all my actors, my director from LA out to Texas, and I could get locations for free. I had a crew out there and just kind of did it. I did the pilot out there, came back, worked with the same editor that I'd worked with before, got the colorist, and then I started pitching the pilot to festivals. And so far we've won, as of yesterday, 10 awards.
Wow.
Just for the trailer? Just for the pilot.
For the pilot, for the 20-minute pilot.
Wow.
And it's still in process. We haven't had a premiere date yet, but once we do, then I'll put up the Facebook page. Then everyone can go to BOC, the Facebook for BOC. But it's just, there's something there. So I'm like,
You can't let it go.
It's generating a lot of momentum. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting on Back on Call to get launched, because once it's in the festivals, it's just like with the film world, it doesn't keep moving. It kind of stops and goes and stops and goes.
Right.
I had to think of something else. And my friend from New York City, who I've sung with before, happened to be coming out to LA for a weekend, for the Valentine's weekend.
Right.
And we used to sing together. And I was like, Stephen, do you want to sing? And I looked for different parties that might be doing some kind of Valentine's thing. We could do a duet or something. Nobody was doing anything. So I was like, Rising Monarch is going to start doing live.
So everyone says no, you just start.
I figured something
else out. She builds the door.
So it was just kind of a quick throw together. I got my friend, Lara Ingram, who is a great comedic actress. And we worked together on putting something together with sketches and song. And we did this concert with my friend from New York. And we held it in a coffee shop. Then the coffee shop was like, would you want to do another one? And I said, okay. And so I put together, this time it was just me singing, but then I had another instrumentalist come in, Scotty V. And he's done a lot. He plays a lot of strings and he works at the Sam Ash Music Stores. And we put together our second, it was called the CBTL Concerts for Coffee, Bean, Tea, and Leaf. And it just kind of started to grow. And after that, I said, we need another venue. And so I went over to the Hudson. theaters. And I just asked them, you know, if we did a once a month show or we did just a one time and let's see, what would you be up for? And they said, absolutely, you can use one of our venues. The Backstage is open on April 8th, which is the second Saturday. We try to do it on the second Saturday of the month. So I went to one of my attorneys that I work with in Texas and I asked, okay, the current name of the project is CBTL Concerts. Am I going to get in trouble if I use that and just move it? And they, he said, absolutely, you need to rename it. Really? So I renamed it RMP Concerts for Rising Modern Productions, which is my studio.
RMP.
RMP Concerts. So RMPC. We're called now. like people like those initials, B-O-C, RMPC. They like the initials. So and they can remember it. But so now our next show is April 8th. We've got four instrumentalists now. Scotty V's coming back. And we've got Shock on drums. He works at Sam Ash Studios, does bunch of different gigs. They all do. Andrew Butler, Brad Watson on keys. And they're going to be playing behind me while I do different songs. I'm also a public speaker, so I'll be telling some personal stories. And it's going to be very entertaining for the audience because I'm real animated
right
on stage.
That's right. Great.
And then I brought in two actors, Raul Nath and Chip Wigley, to do different scene sketches that I ended up having to write, because if you're doing it on like an actual stage, you have to bring in your own work.
Yeah.
And they are hysterical. My gosh.
Really?
So they're going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then Raul is a Bollywood choreographer, dancer. And he does Bollywood dance videos and workout videos. So he's going to bring in a little bit of his Bollywood routine, and we're working it into the program.
Whoa.
So this is like it is starting to like explode on me, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just kind of going forward and doing promotional videos and going, hey, you want to come out? Buy tickets, please.
Have you ever done events like this before?
I've done events.
But not
and
like
I've
this.
Done, not where I was the lone one at the helm.
Yeah, right.
So I'm the lone one at the helm today.
Where is this? At different Hudson theaters or just?
This is just at the one on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Right,
so
on.
Yeah. So 6539 Santa Monica Boulevard on April 8th, 8 p.m.
Wow. Okay, so that's going to be next Saturday. Not tomorrow, but next Saturday.
Thank goodness. Not tomorrow.
April 8th. Yeah. What time? 8, did you
at
say?
At 8 p.m.
And people go to the Hudson. And
they
that's
can
where?
Pick up. They can either pick up their tickets 45 minutes before the show actually opens, or they can go on Eventbrite. They can also go on my Facebook pages for Rising Monarch, Facebook/Rising Monarch,
okay,
or Facebook/RMP Concerts. And if they go to RMP Concerts or even Google RMP Concerts, they can watch highlights of the previous concerts that were on at the coffee house.
That's smart.
And, or they can see all the different highlight videos on the RMP Concerts on Facebook.
Right.
And just kind of get an idea. Cause
so now, why do you do those events? I mean, do you really do it for the money? Or?
Oh, heck no.
Yeah, there's not a lot of money.
Not right now. But there will be. There will be. It is growing. It's something to do. It's creative. And
self-generation.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. That's really awesome. Janice Rouse, you guys can go to aboutjanice.com. You'll find, I'm sure there's links there to Facebook and everything else.
Yes.
You can even see Tori and my pictures up there.
Because I put them on there. I'm like, I'm going to be on LA Talk Radio. Yeah,
there you go.
For someone who doesn't have a background in production, your studio is doing very, you're doing it all right.
And that's
so
what I was.
I know you're feeling your way in the dark here, but keep going because you're doing great.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was told. It's like you've never been a producer before.
You seem like a producer. Yeah, that's what you seem
know
like.
Know what you're doing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of figuring it out as I go.
That's what they all do. That's what we all do.
Like, hooray.
I did radio. Sam, never done radio before. Just faked it.
Yeah, just fake it. Fake it till you make it. That's what actors do.
That's what we do.
Yes.
Fake it till you make it, right?
It started with Zelda.
Yes.
It all started.
I am Princess Zelda. You don't understand.
There's a full circle right there, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
That's how we started the show. Now, so what's in the future for you, Janice? What are you working on next after this one?
Well, hopefully Beck on Call will get enough momentum that we can start actually doing the rest of the series, because I've written the rest of the series.
Wow.
Really?
It's ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Can we watch it anywhere?
What you've done so far?
Not yet. No. Once we have that official premiere date and once the festival says we're going to screen it at this date, once I have that, then there's going to be a Beck on Call Facebook page and I'll have the trailers up. I'll have our behind the scenes. You can go to Rising Monarch Facebook page. There's a little bit of behind the scenes photos and we partnered with a couple of companies where part of Becca's wardrobe is actually for sale.
Really?
So, and then some of the one of the characters eats in every scene and what he's eating is for sale.
Yeah.
So we did that.
You're good.
So there's a little bit of that on Rising Monarch, but I mean the Facebook page is ready to go and
you just have to put it on.
I have to wait for that premiere because some of these festivals they want to be the world premiere.
Yeah, they don't want to. It's
important that they're the world premiere. And once that is set, then that will be up, and I'll start doing promotionals like, okay, come to Facebook, the Facebook Beck on Call page. You can get a background on the whole thing. You can go to IMDb, and Beck on Call's up there, or you can go on my IMDb page, and you'll see all the links for Beck on Call, and just kind of see a little bit, because that's all that's available right now.
Right. Now, what kind of show is it? Like a comedy?
It's a comedy. Yeah, very much a comedy. It's about an aspiring authoress who gets stuck working at her dad's medical clinic.
That's awesome. That's a great concept.
So, yeah. So it's kind of a parody of my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did that a couple times.
Except I'm not, yeah, well, yeah.
That sounds good. So you're focusing on that. Is that how you want to... like, okay, 5-10 years from now, is that where you want to be as far as like producing TV shows?
I'll probably be executive producer of Rising Monarch. Rising Monarch will probably be producing several different projects because I've got films waiting and
really,
you know, yeah,
so you're just a producer. Just,
I've got it's ready to go. Yeah. It's just one project at a time to get the momentum going, and the momentum is going.
Right,
and I have to work 90 miles an hour to get the momentum going.
Sounds good. Do you have any time for personal life at all? I mean, is there like a lucky?
She just laughs.
Yeah, la la la. Okay, you don't have to.
Trust me,
no one can handle.
No.
Wow. So you're like dynamite, right?
Wow. No one wants to handle me, trust me.
Firecracker.
No,
my dad knows how to handle his little girl.
No, but I can't imagine. So what, but you like family and stuff like that.
Oh, that's, yeah, very right? close to my family. I am actually Goo Goo. That is aunt for in Chinese. My brother married a Chinese girl. Her name is Shailene Tsai, and she goes by Apple. And she told me that her kids would have to call me Gugu because that's Mandarin for aunt.
Yeah.
My father's sister. And at first I wasn't sure I liked that.
Gugu's the best.
But when you hear a little 2-year-old, Gugu! And so I save all their voice messages. But little Selena and little Ryan are my best friends. Yeah. And Ryan thinks I'm Elsa. Because I sang Elsa for Selena's 4-year-old birthday party, and he thinks his eyes got so wide, and he thinks I am Elsa. I'm like, well, I'm really Zelda, but Elsa will work.
Frozen always works.
Yeah, always works.
And Goo Goo. So, okay, well, some of us choose the path of Goo Goo.
Always.
Yeah, of Goo Goo. You know?
Totally. I like Goo Goo.
Yeah. Goo Goo works.
There you go. Yeah. Janice Rouse, thank you so much for joining us.
You're
a lot of fun.
Amazing.
A very ambitious and inspiring woman.
Thank you.
And we appreciate that. Everybody go to her website and find out everything about it. What else? I mean, I guess on your website we can see all your work and everything,
right?
Oh, yeah,
you can see the book that I wrote and just
Oh, everything. So you wrote a book too,
I wrote
huh?
a book, I mean, years ago.
Oh, wow,
Rising
my
Monarch
God.
Press, yeah. So.
This woman, I got to go do something with my day.
I got nothing.
Very
What's
good.
What's this, Nessepies?
Nessie's Recipes for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Wholeness.
Oh,
so my mom had some major digestive issues, and she needed something to eat, so I started creating little food that actually tasted good that she could eat, and then I wrote little stories next to the recipes.
Oh,
that's so cute.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it's like from Nespresso or something.
Yeah, no, well,
that's where my head
like
is,
Nespresso,
right?
Nespresso, of course. But, yeah.
All right. Well, Janice,
multi-talented.
Thanks again.
Yeah, there you go.
You're now a friend of the show. You're welcome
Yay.
Back anytime.
Okay, great.
And please and promote push this once again.
Yeah.
Plug it.
The RMP concerts are going to be at the Hudson on April 8th at 8 p.m. Hudson Backstage Theater. You can go to Eventbrite and buy tickets, or you can go on my website, aboutjeunesse.com. Buy tickets there. RMP Concerts on Facebook, as well as Rising Monarch.
Sounds good. And help out a very talented woman. You know, I mean, I'm very inspired. That's very
cool.
Can't
stop, won't stop. Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
There you go.
Texas girl.
Ooh.
Don't mess with Texas.
There you go. At least, yeah, at least for the accents. I love the accents.
Yeah. So oh, yeah. Don't mess with Texas.
There you go. Don't mess with Texas. All right. Well, Tori, thanks again for a beautiful week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a happy beginning of April, and we'll see you here on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.